copies of whatever spreadsheets, whatever's being presented to the conference committee, will be available outside the room, so we don't have, you know, this rush of people, which to all of you who've been around here is always so enjoyable for us at the committee, but we're going to try to avoid that. Second, Representative Carlson and I were asked to meet with Commissioner Hansen, the governor's chief of staff, at 5:15, and we met with them, and I think we could characterize it as a productive meeting and a very useful meeting. Met with them for about an hour, but they presented some thoughts, some concerns, and so we then had to spend some time with not all of our respective conferees or chairs, but with some of the folks to talk about some of the discussion, and that is what resulted in this delay. So as a consequence, what we're going to do is listen to all of the chairmen, but there are some articles that are not ready. There are some articles that are fairly complete. We're not going to take I would propose to the conference committee, and I think Representative Carlson joins in this, that we would not take any action at this point in terms of adopting articles. And there's no question that some are ready for inclusion at this point. But we'd rather listen to everybody, have the presentation, and then try to resolve some of these other issues. We'll see where we go by the time we finish that, and it's possible that we might reconvene later tonight, depending on how far we get and where we think some of these issues are going. I at one point had hoped maybe we could even complete work tonight. That obviously is not going to happen in terms of the entirety of the conference committee. The last thing I'm going to mention is that I have had a request from a couple of people for testimony relative to the securities fees. We're not going to do that. This is an issue that's been kicking around this place for a number of weeks. We had the opportunity for testimony two nights ago. That was the time for testimony, whether from staff or from members of the public. I think Representative Carlson, you were chairing, and had made it clear, had asked if there was testimony from folks, and nobody seemed to be interested that night, so we're past that opportunity. So what we'd like to do is to begin with higher education, with Senator Pappas. And I'm not sure, apparently Representative Rukavina possibly has left because you're up there by yourself. And I don't think you have a resolution on much of this, but not everything. Is that?
Mr. Chairman, we do. We probably have two issues left that are unresolved, but we are not able to complete our work by the deadline. We're still working on it, and I will be in touch with Representative Rukavina by phone because he did have a family event that he had to attend to. So we're close, but we do have one major and one, important issue that are unresolved.
Do you want to share with us
you are? I'm happy to share with you the issues if you'd like to hear them, Mr. Chairman. The issue involves the Minsky Central Office. The House is proposing a $3 million cut out of our $10 million cut directed to the Central Office, and I'm proposing a proportionate cut. So a proportionate cut would be about one point. My bill actually proposed no specifications. But in compromise, he has proposing $2 million, and I'm proposing $1.3 million. So 1.3 is exactly proportionate, is an exact proportionate cut. The other issue is a more serious, Mr. Chairman, is the House had proposed to lower the tuition caps on the career schools, the career colleges. And I'm a strong believer in choice for college students, and the state grant has always been blind in terms of what school you attend, but it certainly pays based on the cost of the institution. So I am not willing to change the parameters of the state grant. We didn't have any hearings about that in the Senate, and the Senate has been very firm on school choice, institutional choice for students.
Okay.
So that's a major issue. It'd be a very, very severe hardship on the many low-income students who choose a career college. Be cuts in the neighborhood of thousands of dollars in their grant.
And if I can ask, where are things with the Achieve program?
We have agreed to include the Achieve program at the scaled-down $1.2 million with the Senate language that lowers the amount of grant each student gets. And the House would like to cut the base in the future, cut the tails. And I haven't heard back from the governor's people 100% on that, but they seemed okay with it. But I can't say for sure. You know, a lot of what Ms. Grivna does is she listens to us and then she has to go check it out, and she hasn't really gotten back to me about that. Okay. But we are preserving the Achieve program, and we've agreed to that.
And maybe I should mention to folks here, it wasn't necessarily a problem with this division, but it happens with our divisions and with our staff. And I think all conferees are aware, many there are people here, but we have these intersections of committees between the House and the Senate. We couple that, to be honest, with maybe I'm thinking more on the Senate side, Mr. Mossman, but I think we have some of our fiscal analysts who are stretched pretty thin. And as a consequence, particularly, for instance, in the environment and energy area, we have fiscal analysts who are doubling and tripling up. So that's something else that has created some difficulty in completion of all of these recommendations. So what I'm going to ask Senator Pappas is, without holding you to the minute, you know, because we did have a deadline, and for the reason I just mentioned, it's been difficult to meet in all instances. Do you have a sense of when you think you might have a conclusion to your work?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I believe that if we, you know, sat down with staff to resolve minor differences in the bills and language differences, that would probably take about an hour. We could do that, but these other two major issues, the central office and the tuition caps for career colleges, I have not heard back from Representative Rukavina about what he's willing to do there. But I will communicate with him, and we will try to resolve it.
So are you going to be talking to him this evening?
I'm calling him yet this evening. I was waiting to not interrupt his family event, so I was going to call him a little later.
Okay. And Representative Carlson.
If you had another question, I just wanted to.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure if we're on TV or not, but I know there are a number of people in the audience, and it might be important to mention what the career colleges are. With the word career, some may confuse that, for example, with our community and technical colleges in the public sector. So just clarify.
Career colleges are private colleges. Their corporate structure is as a for-profit organization, and they tend to be more geared toward shorter-term programs that are more intense, that produce a certificate or a degree in a shorter period of time. They are very geared toward rapid job placement and personal service.
That's all I was hoping you'd say, just so people understand which category of
that's the category.
Schools
then,
we're talking
about. Our private colleges are the McAllisters and the Carletons, and then we have the Minskew and the University.
If you're going to be talking to Representative Rukavina this evening, is there a chance you could get back to us this evening?
Well, I could go call him right now.
Well, you were indicating you weren't quite sure when you were going to get back to him. I just wondered if you thought this is something that could be done quickly. Is this something that would be ready this evening? Or is that a little bit premature?
You like my opinion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, my last conversation with him was he told me to negotiate with Representative Carlson. Representative Carlson has instructed me to call him back.
So we call it passing the buck.
You think?
Okay.
And I only take instructions from Representative Carlson because he is an old friend. My sister lives in his district, belongs to his church, and we serve together in the House.
I think we
that's very interesting.
Pretty well exhausted the timeline here.
I think we did. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Senator Pappas.
I think I shouldn't call.
All right. Next, let's go to and here, we've got some of the intersections. So maybe we could ask all of them to be up there. And I think we do have spreadsheets and language prepared, I believe, on economic development. So that'd be Senator Tomassoni, but Representative Clark, Representative Murphy. So am I correct that you do have material for us?
Mr. Chairman, we have, we were given a target of, a cut target of $13.3 million.
Well, Senator Tomassoni, I'm going to ask that maybe the three of you get up. Can you get up there and this is in our binders, members. So.
What is?
Well, no, actually, that's not. Well, and do you want the respective fiscal analysts to go through spreadsheets and council to go through the language?
Mr. Chairman, whatever you would like us to do.
Let's do it that way. It's going to get a little bit crowded with the several people, but let's have.
If you'd like, Mr. Chairman, we can let the fiscal analyst sit here and we can stay at the table.
All right, maybe that's a little bit easy with a group of people. Maybe that's the easiest way to go. Sorry. So why don't we start? If the representatives and the senator want to start, maybe just kick this off and let us know some of the issues of contention, what you've been able to resolve, and so on. And let's have we start with the fiscal analysts at the table, and then we can go to council to present in more detail the numbers. So who would like to start? Senator Tomassoni, do you want to start? And then
well, Mr. Chairman, like I said, we were given a cut target of $13,310,000, and we hit the target right on. And our tails target was between, I believe, 10 and 11.4, and we were at 10.3. So we're well within our limits there also. And how far do you want me to go, Mr. Chairman? I can tell you that... Representative Murphy and Representative Clark were very tough on me, and we took a real lot of the House positions. And a couple of things that were done that are of note, I think, is that we found a little bit of revenue in a statutory transfer from the federal fund to deed. And so we got about $1 million a year out of that. There's some fees that have been raised. One is in the in labor and industry, which is a construction code fee that raises about $1.225 million. At the direction of the department, we took about $1.425 million in assigned risk grants. For the most part, we tried to keep the cuts to as minimum as possible. And I think that we can say that as bad as a cut bill as it is, we did our best to minimize the cuts and keep people working. There is a at the end you'll see there's some barber fees and there's some cosmetology fees. Representative Murphy comment on her section of the bill, and I'll let Senator or Representative Clark comment on her section of the bill. There's a mineral section that is there from the agency and from the Iron Range. The there's a increase of $500,000 for an employment fund that we have up there. That's on page 23 of Article 7. There's a retirement incentive that we've that we've put in there. There's a renaming of the Iron World Discovery Center to that needs to be changed on line 2411. We need an oral amendment to say the Rudy Perpich Iron World Discovery Center. There's a list of projects that are enumerated in most of those pages, and there's also a little bit of a change in the name of the Doug Johnson Fund, and I'm not sure that either one of those changes of the name of the Discovery Center or the Doug Johnson Fund are completely agreed to, but I think they're okay. And so those are the major portions of the part that I have done. We are under the governor in program totals in employment and economic development. We've cut less also in program totals of the workforce development, and the total of the of deed were lower. And I think with that, I can turn it over to Representative Murphy to do the parts of the budget that are appropriate to her section of the bill.
And obviously, we can have staff go through the explicit details, but Representative Murphy and Representative Clark.
Mr. Chair, the arts and culture part of the spreadsheet and the Public Facilities Authority starts on page 5, and tourism, the Historical Society, the Arts Board, the Humanities Center, public broadcasting. We had no major points of contention, but we pointed out that it was very important to keep some of the programs and as many dollars in funds as we could because of the jobs that they provide and new jobs that and money that comes into the state, like especially from the Film Board. And we also were very conscious of what funds needed state money in order to match with federal funds coming in. For instance, the Humanities Center gets a one-to-one match if the state provides a certain amount of money. In the governor's recommendations, they recommended that several of our programs be eliminated or become nonprofits, and that was not the position of the House or the Senate. And so we worked very hard and came up with a proposal that we think will work very well for the reasons that I already stated. We do have one change on the language part of the Article 7 on page 21 and 22. There's something that changes the formula for the Film Board so that the percentage of money for the rebate can be changed for rural Minnesota to make it more advantageous or more equal for production in rural Minnesota as it is in metro Minnesota. And we think that that might be an aid to have more consideration in rural Minnesota.
Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Housing Finance Agency cuts are on page 4 and 5, I believe. And we had in the negotiations with the working group, what we did was stick close to the governor's recommendations in terms of reducing the funds for two programs. One is the Preservation Affordable Rental Investment Program, known as PARIF, which is a loan program for to help developers acquire and rehab and refinance public housing that may be losing federal assistance, keeping those housing units going. And the second area is in the rental rehab loan program that are and that's a loan program for owners of small rental properties to improve and invest improve in, their properties, and those are available to low-income people. What we did basically was in the In the first program, in the first biennium, we got a bit of a break of $400,000 as compared to what the House had recommended before, so we were happy to work with the Senate on that. And in the second biennium, we took the tails from the House. And the difference is from the governor is about, as I mentioned, $400,000 less cut than the governor in the first biennium, and about $800 less than the governor in the second biennium, but in the same programs.
Okay. Does staff want to offer anything else on the numbers?
Mr. Chairman, I think I may have misspoke on the petrol fund. I think I said $1 million a year, and it looks like there was a change since last night, and I think it's two and a half a year. It says 3.7 in the bill, so.
That's the remaining.
Huh?
That's the remaining.
Go ahead, you explain it.
Mr. Chairman, on the petrol fund, what the bill does is it indeed has an existing statutory appropriation of $6.2 million a year for the petrol fund for the contaminated cleanup program. The bill reduces that for 2 years only, 2010 and 11, to $3.7 million. And then the $2.5 million is transferred to the general fund. So the calls on the petrol fund stay the same. It's just that a portion of the money goes to the general fund.
And Senator Tomassoni, I want to go back to some of the language you mentioned. It sounds as, you know, we had distributed to everybody. I thought it was an agreement on the part of the speaker and the majority leader to stay away from language that was not tied to money in some fashion. It sounds like there might be a couple of pieces of language that are not tied to money in any fashion. Is that correct?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
You mean like name changes and stuff like that? Or
yeah, like that, for instance.
Yeah, yeah, that they I would say they're probably not tied to, except it does cost money to change the name, so. So you can handle it however you want, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Do we have questions for these respective chairmen and or staff on this this article of the bill? Okay. Well, thank you very much. And it sounds like this is maybe with a couple of editorial changes in pretty good shape to go. Would that be a fair statement?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe my counterparts have any problems at all, so I think we've agreed to everything, so I think that's a fair statement, yes.
Okay, and I recognize Representative Rukavina is not here, but as best you would know, he would agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, yes, Mr. Chairman.
Not in her head, so. Okay, great. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
The next area, and again, I believe this has been completed, is transportation. So maybe we'll just, is Representative Leader here? I don't, pardon?
Oh, he's chairing a committee right now.
Oh, is he? Okay. So, Sarah Murphy and
why don't you announce that so they know he's chairing a meeting?
Yeah, apparently, what I've just been informed is that Representative Leader is chairing a committee meeting right now so that he's not present this evening. And obviously, he's not a member of the conference committee itself, as is. But Sarah Murphy is. So I'm not sure if staff wants to join us at the table for transportation and can help as needed. Senator Murphy, what would you like to say? And if you want to turn it over to the respective staff, that's fine. Whatever you'd like to do.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I believe Mr. Mossman has an amendment over there that would reflect the agreement between myself and Chair Leader and our respective transportation committees. But
why don't you tell us what you have, and then we can
All right. Well, coming into this, neither the House nor the Senate were very far away with either our overall numbers or the way that we took care of it, the issue. What we end up doing is we end up, outside of a couple small changes, the only substantive change is that we lower the reduction from the Metropolitan Council somewhat on the tails, and we acceded to the House language, which takes those reductions proportionally, well, on an equal proportional basis from both Greater Minnesota Transit and Metropolitan Council. There's $3 million of one-time money, and then the rest is a cut to the base. The rest of it, the rest of the change that we're doing was all in both bills, or they've been bills that have passed either the House or the Senate. There was an elimination of a hazmat fee and a couple other small things that are barely worth mentioning.
Anything else that either Ms. Boyd or Ms. Zewers would want to offer us?
Mr. Chair and members, the only thing else to mention is that we learned of some additional federal money that MnDOT is getting. So you'll notice that the state road construction for federal highway aid is at $112 million. And in both the House, Senate, and governor's proposals, it was at $104 million. So it's they found or are receiving $8 million of additional federal money.
And is that money that we've received at this point, or?
Mr. Chair and members, it's funding that MnDOT's anticipating based on bills that have just passed at the federal level.
Obviously, you know, that's a pretty important issue as we get into Health and Human Services, because it, in that instance, makes a direct difference with the budget. Is there anything else that you think might be showing up, either in general fund dollars or any?
Mr. Chair and members, no.
Okay. All right. Thanks. And obviously, this division is smaller and a little bit easier. Any questions for staff or for Sarah Murphy? And I don't know if anybody can speak directly on behalf of Representative Leader to.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the last time I saw him, he walked out of my office laughing at how easy he rolled me. So. I think he was okay with this.
Okay.
Yeah,
President Carlson.
Just, you know, it appears here that both. One of the things that you and I are watching, of course, are the targets, and you made the target both for the current biennium and the out biennium as well.
Okay.
They had the range, so yes. I don't remember if Senator Murphy mentioned that or not.
No, Mr. Chairman, I didn't, but we did. We were at kind of the upper limit of your range as far as cuts.
We took note of that. Thank you. That helps
for the next
one.
All right. We were good boys.
Thank you.
Okay. The next area, if we go to Ms. Olencheski and Senator Bach.
I think he was talking about just him and Bernie.
That's okay, boss.
I'm not sure if you'd like somebody at the table to help you at all, or
you want me to go through?
Mr. Chairman, maybe I'll let Ms. Von Mosch walk through what's in the article.
Fine.
Susan Von Mosch, Senate Fiscal. The issues within the tax committees were there were four of them. Basically, the repayment of property taxes or payment in lieu of taxes was dropped. That was the first issue that was resolved. The House accepted the Senate's provision to repay the unallotment for the city of Houston, and the House also accepted the Senate's language on extending the deadline for the local government aid study. And in the area of the local aid reductions, the House and the Senate agreed on the House position in fiscal year 11. And for fiscal years 12 and 13, we split the difference. For county program aid, the cut that you have before you right now is $6.3 million higher than the House and lower than the Senate. And for local government aid, the cut is $6.3 million lower in the House than it was in the Senate. So we basically split the difference.
Michelle, did you wish to...
That's it, Mr. Chair. There was another item having to do with Green Acres that will show up in the article, but we were the same on that from the start. So those are the only things that we have to share with you.
Okay. And in terms of the 12-13 budget, reflecting a figure of almost $200 million, is that correct, $192 million?
Yes, Mr. Chair. We're at $105 in fiscal year... Oh, you wanted to know about fiscal year 11. We're at 105 in fiscal year 11.
The 92.1 is fiscal 12, and the 99.7 is fiscal 13.
Right.
So almost $200 million in the tails. And I'll,
yes, very close.
I'll never hear the end of this from Senator Bach, because he'll just continuously point out how much more the tax committee does.
So, Senator Cohen, just to remind the committee that aids and credits also have contributed to deficit reduction by $300 million in unallotments, in addition to what we're doing in this bill. So I believe we've done our share. But, Senator Cohen, in the interest of full disclosure, Article 14, Section 1, there is a small piece of policy in the bill. It changes a date for taxpayers that previously qualified for Green Acres who make a decision to not re-enroll in it have to make that decision under current law by May 1st. It's broadly held by just about everybody, I believe, that date needs to be moved out. And so we're proposing August 16th, 2010. That was a Senate provision. You certainly could make an argument that that's language, that date change. We simply were looking for a place to put this where it could become law, because Representative Lincheski and I both have had some concern that over the balance of the session there may not be another opportunity to pass a tax provision in the event we can't come to an agreement with the governor on an omnibus tax bill. So this seemed like a safe place to plant it in what we hope is going to be a bill that's signed. I believe everybody agrees, including the governor, the commissioner of revenue, the members, bipartisanly, the members of the both tax committees, that this is the date that needs to be moved. So that's my comment on that. If the chairs feel that this is language that needs to come out, I guess I understand that, and Representative Lincheski and I will have to find another place to put it.
Okay, thanks. Further questions or comments relative to the aids and credits? Representative Lincheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just would add that, just for the public, that I think Senator Bach stated well the unallotment history and what is happening with our local units of government. The local units of government are going to be asked to absorb this, and this is about 2.5 times smaller than the governor's cut. So we want the public to be aware of that the governor's proposing about 2.5 times this cut this year. Additionally, the property taxpayers in 2010, all Minnesotans will be protected from property tax increases because we worked diligently to not have the property tax hit come out of them directly, but it'll make our cities and counties have to have some very difficult choices. So we just want to put it in context for what's been going on for the last few years and compare it to the governor's proposal of this year.
Okay, thank you. Senator Bach?
Mr. Chairman, I should say between the unallotments and the $105 million contained here, the Department of Revenue has very good historical data that shows when the state reduces aids or credits to cities, you can expect cities and counties to levy back about two-thirds of the aid cut. And there's historical data to show that. So if you take two-thirds of the $405 million that have been cut from the aids and credits area through unallotment and through this bill, we all just need to admit that when we pass this bill and put it on the governor's desk, the net result of that, if the historical data holds true, is property taxes in this state are going to go up by $250 million the first year. That's what you can expect to happen. So just because we're making this cut here doesn't mean that it's not going to bounce back on taxpayers. And the result of the unallotment and these cuts will be about $250 million in a property tax increase.
Okay, thank you. Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One other thing I should add, just more for the public, not members, because they know this, but one of the tricks in the tax committee in aids and credits is to be fair to the entire state, and folks should know that the 2010 cut is about 50-50 metro-rural, which was a real trick to do between metro and greater Minnesota, so we've got strong geographic balance. The out year falls a little bit heavier on the metro, but not by much. So we really, really try to kind of share the pain equally across the state.
Okay, thanks. Other comments or questions? Okay, thank you very much. All right, next let's go to public safety. And we've got Senator Foley, Senator Higgins, and Representative Paymar. And again, I don't know if staff wants to join us at the table. Do we have Mr. Carter, Mr. Turner?
Mr. Chair, if you're looking at the spreadsheets, probably the summary table on the last page of the spreadsheets are probably the most useful to look at the differences. We came into conference with $10 million thereabouts difference between House and Senate, and the governor was the same as the House. And so the number that we've been working at is the House number, $35,923,000. You can see that we tried to keep our percentage changes between about 1.1% cut to 2.6% cut in our various agencies.
Just to briefly go through the overall cut to the courts, the governor had recommended a $14.7 million cut, and we came out with a $10 million cut. The governor had recommended a $3.3 million cut to the public defenders, and we ended up with a $1.9 million cut. And one difference would be in the Department of Public Safety, where the governor did not recommend a cut, and we have a $3.6 million cut. And the Department of Corrections is very close, 9.8 for the governor and 9.9 for the conference committee. We took the governor's recommendation on the transfer of the fire safety account, but we appropriated $3 million back for fire safety training.
Anything else you'd like to convey to us?
I think as Senator Higgins said, I mean, we tried, everybody took a little bit of a cut, and,
So where are we with the sentence to serve issue?
Sentence to serve, the Senate adopted the House language. The governor had recommended elimination of it, and we fund 25% of it, and we also provide the opportunity for the counties to charge the offenders a fee and also to charge the entities that receive a benefit from sentence to serve.
And are there any programs? I mean, obviously there's a variety of programs, you know, the Office of Justice programs and so on. Is there anything that, that you suggest has been not disproportionately hurt, but anything that you think there might be some significant displacement?
Displacement?
In terms of difficulties. I mean, everything's difficult. But is there anything that was, if not singled out, anything that where there might be greater difficulty than other areas?
Mr. Chair, we requested in the Office of Justice Programs that four types of programs not be reduced by more than a percent and a half. And those are the Battered Women's Shelters and Domestic Violence Programs, the General Crime Victims Programs, Sexual Assault Victims Programs, and the Youth Intervention Programs.
Okay. And this is an area, obviously, where there's been, I don't know if volatility would be the right word, but obviously some concerns expressed, you know, by the administration relative to where both the House and the Senate have been. Could you characterize your meeting? Did you spend any time with representatives from the administration as you've worked the past 24 hours?
Mr. Chair, I did this morning explain the our whole rationale with the reductions to the Office of Justice Programs, and you know, I think it's safe to say that in my 4 years as chair of this committee with Senator Higgins on the Senate side, I mean, there's been no, I mean, we've been just avid supporters of not making huge reductions to crime victim programs, and so we tried to protect them as best we could. Last year, we limited their reduction to 3%, and we had federal money that backfilled those reductions. And if we make a 1.5% reduction this year, that will be a 4.5% reduction from their base if we don't continue to get federal money. And now, on the other hand, the governor did not cut Office of Justice Programs at all. But we were trying to, our dilemma, Mr. Chair, is that we were trying to balance the cuts so that we did not have to make huge cuts to the courts or the public defender's office, which the governor did. And so that's sort of the trade-off that we made.
Was there any discussion about that with the folks representing the administration in terms of the trade-off within the budgets, courts, public defender versus corrections?
Mr. Chair, I went over with the governor's staff our thinking behind the Office of Justice Program reductions. And, you know, we also, I made clear that also in OJP is, of course, the money for the gang strike forces, and made it clear that this last year that there was $11 million in federal JAG money that went to law enforcement and $11.5 million in COPS grants money. So there was a significant amount of money that went to law enforcement from a federal and state level. So I'm not sure what the issues are. I talked to the governor's staff this morning and haven't heard back from her, but I think Senator Higgins and I would be happy to still work with her. I don't know if the fiscal staff want to say anything.
Representative Carlson.
Just to be clear, Representative Paymar, did they identify any problems in this area this morning when you met with the governor's staff?
Mr. Chair, if you look at the number, obviously the governor protected all of the OJP programs. and we took a small cut. But I don't know that when we explained about all the federal money, you know, she said she would, you know, review that. But I don't, since I haven't talked with her since this morning, I don't know.
But at this morning's meeting, yes, is what they didn't identify any major
problems. No, they,
problems,
you know, I didn't get the sense that we were, that there was a problem with our budget at all, and she just needed to, she needed a rationalization for why we did what we did, and I think we, I provided it to her.
I was just sending a text back.
Thank you.
Okay. Further comments or questions on this part of the proposed conference committee report? Sarah Foley, anything?
I have nothing. I think the discussions we've had with the House members have been very productive, and our overall funding there deserves a commendation for Mr. Paymar. He kind of caught the bulk of it, and Senator Higgins also. So, thank you.
That was nice, wasn't it, Representative Paymar?
Very nice, thank you.
You gonna put that in a piece of campaign literature in the district? you got my commendation too. So, anything else on this article of the bill? Okay, well, thank you very much. As we've been getting notes as we've proceeded that there are articles that are prepared. I had a note from as Fabian.
They're here as well. Yeah, they're both here.
Okay. Why don't we go to state government since Representative Kahn just walked in, if you're ready to go ahead. Representative Kahn, we've had the legislators sit at the table with staff at or sit at the committee table with staff available at the witness table. Now, I understand that you've agreed on numbers. We have some differences with language, I believe.
Mr. Chair,
let's wait till Representative Kahn's situated.
Sure.
The spreadsheet we have, the numbered spreadsheet, I think we have in our in the binders. All right. Let's wait for a second. We're having distributed the proposed article. We've got the spreadsheet, I believe, in the binder. We're having distributed the article for state government, and there's also a separate sheet that indicates where there are some differences, I believe. So I'm going to need the help of Representative Kahn and Senator Betzel to make sure I'm stating this correctly.
Chairman, can we begin with the spreadsheet, though, being that that's the area that there's, as I understand, a total agreement with the numbers, so maybe we can start there.
So who would like to present? Would you like to have staff present numbers or Senator Betzel, Representative Kahn? Whatever you'd like to do.
Mr. Chair, I can kind of kick it off, and obviously and Representative Kahn can help fill in with anything I miss, and certainly staff. We met last night. We had a public hearing. Representative Kahn had some members of the House with her. I had some members of the Senate with her. We had staff. It was open. It was room 15. And we met from about 8:15 till I think about, 10:30 last night. If you look over the spreadsheet, the legislative budget was basically decided by the legislative leaders in both bodies, and we adopted that. Most of the rest of the spreadsheet are the House positions, which in most cases aligned with the governor's positions. The House did basically across-the-board cuts. The Senate had more targeted cuts. We adopted, in almost every instance, the House position. Neither side did the implied consent hearings. The Senate receded from its cuts to self-advocacy grants. We both did tax compliance. We did not adopt the governor's 3% agency reductions on line 52. The gambling control board, the special revenue was part of the House proposal. There is, we did adopt, and I will call to your attention on the spreadsheet, line 78 to 79, there was a provision in the House on the transfer to the governor's office, the support our troops account. That does appear in the spreadsheet. That may be an issue that the conference committee may want to delve in a bit further on, but that's what they're. Other, the House did want to recede from its own position on the lottery cash flow, on the gambling, problem gambling reduction. But other than that, as I say, if you go down the spreadsheet, they were the House positions, which were very close to the Senate positions. I will note that this our spreadsheet does carry Article 12 of the Senate bill, which eliminated state agency positions. It's on our spreadsheet, but that was beyond the jurisdiction of our area. And I obviously would defer to the staff on further, and Representative Kahn on further comments on the spreadsheet.
Okay, Representative Kahn?
It's fine. I agree.
Okay. Mr. Lundin or Ms. Roberts?
Mr. Chair, members, I just wanted to note on line 52, although the working group did not adopt the 3% operating budget reduction recommended by the governor, the $9 million, that recommendation does include a $3 million across-the-board cut that would apply to all state agencies.
Okay, so the governor's budget recommendation had that $9 million figure, but you're recommending $3 million of that? Is that correct? Now, that's spread throughout state government. It's not just necessarily within the state government's division. Is that?
Yeah, that would apply to all state agencies.
Okay. And so do you use the language that the governor did in presenting that figure as to how that would be implemented?
No, we're using the House language.
Okay, so how's that distinguished?
It's a little bit more prescriptive than the governor's language. The governor's language had a run-on sentence that only talked about information system consolidation, and the okay. We put a set of other things. I'm trying to find the exact place. We had a set of other things in there. Looking for okay, section 39. Okay. So then the expended, we listed a set of other things to look for expenditure reduction through estimated savings and expenditures for space, out-of-state travel, fleet management, energy usage in state buildings, contracts for professional or technical services, and through increased employee telecommunication, telecommuting, and through consolidation of information technology functions or other operational efficiencies. At one point in the House work, we had assigned expected savings to any of these, but it seemed much more sensible to lump them together and to just say that will be a total. The House originally had 2.6; it's now at 3 million. At 3 million, and then of course to count it as a real cut, you then have to then give the head of Commissioner of Management and Budget the ability to make the cuts. That was the same language to be the ability to make the cuts. So the governor's budget had that ability going up to 9 million, and we have that ability up to 3 million.
All right, thanks.
Yep, Mr. Chair, This morning I saw a letter that was directed to the conference committee by Tom Barrett of the Minnesota Gambling Control Board. It was dated yesterday. It may be another issue that the conference committee may want to take a look at. The Senate's position, let me explain what happened here. I think it was in 05 that the charitable gambling groups agreed to pay higher licensing fees to the Gambling Control Board so they could hire two more auditors. The governor's proposal would have directed those fee increases to the general fund. The Senate position originally was avoided doing that use of the special fees. However, the House position has adopted that. That's what we also adopted too. I think if we look to the bottom line here, there may be enough to revisit that issue and to determine, the conference committee may want to determine whether or not they want to avoid that. Again, I just saw the letter this morning, but it's a minor issue, but it's fairly important to the charitable gambling groups. And as I say, you've already received it. I just saw it today.
Okay, thanks. Representative Paymer, you have
Mr. Chair, I have a question on line 28 of the spreadsheet that I'm just wondering why neither the House or the Senate, I'm just wondering what the conclusion was for not agreeing to transfer the implied consent hearings to the Office of Administrative Hearings.
Mr. Chair and Representative Paymar, this is part of the governor's proposal to move the implied consent hearings from the judicial branch to the Office of Administrative Hearings, but it was only a proposal in his budget. I don't recall the House's schedule, but by the time the Senate had already wrapped up its budget proposals, that's when the language was first introduced. We can't adopt a major policy change without the words that are going to go in the statute to say how it's going to work. So all we had was just a transfer of money here for what we consider to be a rather significant change. And by the time that the bill was even introduced in the Senate, we had already pretty much wrapped up our budget pages. And wasn't even clear to us that even if we adopted that, that there would be any overall net savings. Certainly on paper that we have it here, there's savings to the courts, a cost to the Office of Administrative Hearings. But frankly, we don't even know how the policy is going to work. And how can you adopt a budget line if you don't know the policy? So we couldn't do anything.
In the House, our thought was that we weren't the division who ought to consider this first. We would actually prefer your division to look at it in the first place. Because there was just no one we felt with any expertise in the subject on our division. Mm-hmm. So it just from the top of my head, it seemed like a good idea that it would, but we're just not willing to go after it without knowing more about it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Higgins.
And in the Senate, there was an actual bill introduced, but it wasn't until the day before first deadline, so it got in too late to get a hearing in the Judiciary Committee so that it could have moved forward to to finance. So our divisions could have looked at it. Or been Senator Foley's division and Senator Betzel's.
Okay. Other questions on this part of State Departments? Now, I know there's agreement on some language, disagreement on other language, but
Mr. Chair, you've got Article 13, and
yes,
this represents the areas that we did agree to last night. And as I indicated, if you go through the budget lines, this was the House budget proposals. I will note on page 2, there's some rider language that was part of the House bill, page 2.7 and 2.12 on voluntary donations to support broadcast and print media. That was adopted from the House bill. If you look on, as I say, if you go through all the budget pages through page 5 and so forth, now there's some language at the top of page 5 from lines 5.1 to 5.23, that was straight out of the House bill. The language that starts on page 6, line 24, was a proposal from the governor in the governor's budget bill. That was in the House bill. It was not in the Senate bill. We adopted that. Sections 20.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have that Article 13?
Article 13?
I don't have it.
Could we get Representative Kahn?
I have the copy. No, this is the one. This is our, what? The Senate version. We only have the House version, which is
Article
13. Which is called Budget Article 13 House is the one that we have.
That's our
version of it.
Dated 3/25/10, 5:59 p.m. Yeah, that's it. That's what we're looking at.
Okay, do we have that proposed article?
This is the House proposed article. We don't have the Article 13 that's being. I don't know. That Representative Betzel was talking about.
There isn't any in the Senate.
Okay, I was mistaken. Apparently, this is the House proposal. Is that correct? I'm sorry. So understanding that, let's.
Maybe we should explain what's happening here.
Well, Representative Kahn, Senator Betzel, I know there's some differences still on language, but.
What is it? 326. I now have a copy of the. Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair. I've got a document that was provided to me earlier today, and it provides it has all the things that we had agreed to last night, and everything in this article were House positions. There isn't a single Senate position in what we agreed to last night.
Okay, but let's make sure we're all dealing with the same document. I have a document, 3/25/10, 5:59 p.m., Article 13, State Government, Revisor, is this? Budget Article 13, House.
That's not what he's, this is what.
That's what I have in front of me. What?
This is what.
Mr. Chair, I have an 11-page document, 3/25/10 at 3:26 p.m. from the revisor, SWN/KS, Bud Article 13. And this reflects everything that we had agreed to last night.
We don't have that.
Okay.
Maybe we.
Okay. Representative Carlson,
I wonder, is that something you want to distribute it
with? Well, sure. This was provided to me earlier today. I was under the assumption that this was going to be the document that would be provided to the conference committee. I don't know. I mean, this was sent to me today. So.
Okay. Can we tell you what? Let's make sure we've got the right documents. We have a couple of – we've just had another article distributed to us, and I realize some of this and it's a work in progress. So if you folks can – don't mind holding off for a couple of minutes.
Go ahead.
Are there any other questions about the spreadsheet? So we're assuming we're okay on that. Do we have language on ag? Okay. All right. Let's go to ag and vets. And just so members understand, as I mentioned, we've had some difficulty where we have staff members having to work with a couple different divisions. That's what's delayed part of this, and you know, some differences between members. So we've got the Ag and Vets spreadsheet, and I think what's being distributed is the proposed Article 5. Which is the Ag and Vets language. Do we have that?
This must be yours. I've got a document.
Okay. All right. We have two documents. We have Article 5 for Ag, Article 6 for Vets Affairs. And we have Representative Junkie, glad to have you on the Senate side, and Senator Vickerman. And do we have staff who want to help?
We can go ahead without them. I don't know if they're here right now, but I'm confident.
Okay. Yeah. Actually,
it's fairly minor.
Sure. Representative Junkie, go ahead.
Well, members, the if you look at the we'll start with Department of Agriculture. I'm working off the spreadsheet more so than the articles, but very few changes. We did meet our target of a $7 million cut, by the way, in the entire division, and our tails target of 5.3. So those were both met. Major differences, I will say, we kind of acquiesced to the Senate position on the plant protection services, which included the gypsy moth and the emerald ash borer, with the caveat that both the Environment Committee as well as the Ag Committee will put together rider language for our policy bill coming out to facilitate a transition with those groups and hopefully get some forestry items out of agriculture over to DNR and make sure that we're doing what we should do within those departments. So we're going to facilitate that in another bill. And consequently, you saw about $1 million put back in that account. And I know there was a lot of discussion among our nursery industry and others about that. They can sleep easy tonight. We're going to work on that transition and come back next year in the major budget year and address that. We split the difference in ethanol. The House cuts were about doubled from what they were, but the Senate cuts then would be less from what they were. So that was kind of a House-Senate acquiesce to each other. And then the House position was taken. The other major thing, the House position was taken on the transfer from the Agri Fund and utilizing those dollars in general fund budget balancing. That was a governor's position that the House had, and the Senate moved on our position there to complete this spreadsheet. Everything else is relatively minor on the spreadsheet as far as veterans go. As you work your way down, Board of Animal Health is basically governor's recommendations. AURI, Ag Utilization Research Institute, the governor had earmarked that for a 50% cut, which would have been devastating to that value-added entity that we have out there. And we basically gave them a similar cut to the Department of Agriculture. Fair was fair, and both House and Senate agreed on that. Department of Military Affairs is basically governor recommendations, and no changes were made there. Department of Veterans Affairs, we were basically given a target of zero. As we know, no one around here wants to cut veterans or veterans affairs, and that's certainly the case. You'll see a slight increase of a 0.6%. The Senate acquiescing to both House positions somewhat on military honor guard reimbursements. Those are legions and VFWs who preside when the honor guard presides over a funeral and they don't have pull tab money or something else to pay for it. We give them a stipend back if they apply for it. And a homeless vets grant for the MACV program. That was a Representative Hamilton had brought that. It was neither a governor nor a Senate position, but we gave them a slight bump this year in their appropriation in a one-time entity. As you know, this is one of those divisions that in the Senate has some split responsibilities. I did meet with Senator Berglund this afternoon, and she indicated that she had no additional monies to put in from her division for the veterans' nursing homes, and likewise, we were not given any additional monies to put in on the House side, so that cut remains at a zero cut for the nursing homes, which again is both Senate and House positions at this point in time. So that's the spreadsheet in a nutshell, Senator Cohen, and we're happy to answer any questions, Senator Vickerman and I, that you may have. We did meet with Department of Veterans Affairs this morning and visit with them. At least I met with them on our side. I'm not saying they agree with what we did in the homes and other things, but that's kind of above my pay grade at this point since I have no more money for them. We think they can make do. And I did meet with Commissioner Hugesson was part of the negotiations on behalf of the governor in the ag realm, and he agreed to all the things we did here.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to be sure the public that's watching and listening, we made no cuts to military affairs. We insisted on there, no cuts. And we made no cuts to veterans program, and we added a couple hundred thousand for homeless veterans and military honor guard. So we stayed within our budget. I think we took as good a care of our committees as we possibly could.
And as usual, it's always a pleasure working with Senator Vickerman. We us rural boys get along pretty well.
Yeah, we're,
We're going to miss Senator Vickerman.
We
no
will.
No question. Let me just ask a couple. Well, first of all, on you've gone through the spreadsheet. Anything else we should know about the language?
On the spreadsheet or the articles?
The articles.
There's minor things, but they're all money related. There should be no policy in here. Again, we have policy bills coming out on this in a couple weeks, so we'll address any policy items there. There's nothing of substance. I mean, you can read through it. They're very short articles and all related to the money in the appropriations.
Okay. And then I want to ask relative to...
Other than we did eliminate the earlier rider language you saw on the Gypsy Moth and the Emerald Ash Bar. That's out of here now, so it's not even appearing in there. That was the major change in the article.
And then I want to ask also about the Veterans Home, because that's a place where we have, again, this cross-jurisdiction where you were working with Senator Berglund. Can you just... tell us what happened with that. And
well, again, Senator Berglund and I met and discussed the budgets as we understood them. There's two increases that the Veterans Home needs. One is a slight increase, which we think they can get around for an adult daycare facility at Minneapolis. That's basically a self-sustaining program once it starts. They may have to do some minor early hiring for training, but we think they could probably find the money to do that. The larger item certainly was the Alzheimer unit that is starting up in Fergus Falls, and they need a little over $1 million, $1.2 million or $1.3 million. As that gets going, again, our books show a number of carryover funds that were available for their use internally. And Senator Berglund, as I met with her, also stated that she had looked over the budget. Again, she's not here, but I met with her this afternoon. I think I can paraphrase that she had looked over the budget, and as far as she was concerned, she has not put her budget together yet, obviously, and that was her concern, but she had indicated to me she had no additional dollars from her other funds that she thought needed to be transferred over to the veterans' homes.
Okay. And Representative Junkie, let me ask one question. I appreciate the explanation of that. Going back to Veterans Affairs, kind of glancing through this, there is language, and I don't know if it relates to the money.
What page are you?
On page 3, there's section 6. This is relative to the Support Our Troops account. This was a bill, I believe, authored by Senator Betzold in the Senate.
Right.
That I think was withdrawn. Does this relate to the fiscal language on page 2?
No. What you're seeing the language in this rider for is they do have the Support Our Troops Fund. And for this year, the CORE program, which is a program run by LSS in all of our counties for veterans, was short a couple $100,000. And so the department agreed to use those dollars in the Support Our Troop Fund for the CORE. And so we added this language so that it fit that CORE program. But it was agreed upon by the department and us to utilize. They had, I don't have the sheet for me, about $600,000, $695,000, I think it was, additional dollars. So we were able to transfer a couple hundred into that CORE program. And that's why this language is here as a rider to define the use of that money internally in the department. I can tell you we did have a discussion on the, I know the Senate had more intense discussions on the Support Our Troops.
I recall that.
What we had indicated to the department is when they come to us next year, we would like to visit with them in our finance committee, if I'm still there, and have them bring forth to us how those dollars are going to be spent, and we will then put them in our appropriations bill next year so everyone has a clear understanding on where their dollars are going, and we think that will provide a little additional oversight that everyone can agree with.
Okay. So the language on page 3 is...
It goes to the Support Our Troops Fund, but it specifically will allow use of those funds for the CORE program.
Okay. All right. Further questions for either Representative Junkie or Senator Vickerman? Or Mr. Reinholds, Mr. Mueller, I don't know if there's anything, Mr. Knopf, you want to wish to add, but President Carlson.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. I think let's make sure. I'd like to go back to state departments, I think.
We don't have it yet.
I thought we had a...
Are they running more?
Okay, we're not quite ready. And...
We have the energy stuff here. Ah, there it is. Bud Art. Yep.
Bill is here.
I thought Representative Hilty is...
Yeah,
I thought
he is here. No, he is here, over in the corner.
Oh, there's Representative Hilty. I saw you over there, and then you went over there. So, Representative Hilty, do you want to join us on the energy? I think we've had that distributed. I'm not sure if Senator Anderson is here.
Okay. So, somewhere here, I've got energy. They're in the book. They should be in the book.
Chairman, are you doing state government or energy?
We're going to do energy right now because we...
Okay.
I've got a copy of this, but nobody else does.
I think I have energy.
Oh, okay.
Energy was... Members, again, these are articles that are not in the binder.
Oh, over there.
Oh.
Anderson, we've had members sitting at the conference table and staff at the witness table.
Does it make sense when you know what they're talking about?
Okay, so we've got Article 4, energy, and we've got a spreadsheet for energy. So I'm not sure who would like to start between Representative Hilty and Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair, I will begin. Initially, we had a target of $46,400,000. Senator Tomasoni's bill that he referred to earlier was a $3 million transfer from the petrol fund that, in essence, bought down our target by $3 million, which allowed us to lessen the amount that we transferred from the workers' compensation assigned risk plan. What the bill does in its present form is it transfers from the Petroleum Tank Release Fund $3 million. Dollars. There's $5 million from various special revenue funds, and notably $25 million, which is in increased revenue in the 0.1% increase in the notice filing fee for mutual fund registrations. In addition, there is $1.2 million roughly in total appropriation changes, and we did meet our target, which, as I said, adjusted to $43,400,000.
Mr. Chair,
Anderson.
Maybe I can just talk about the energy portion, which is a small portion of that target, and it wasn't specifically allocated a separate target. That's my part of the commerce budget. And we came in with there's very limited general fund cuts available in energy, and we were 200,000 roughly apart on general fund cuts. We ended up somewhere in the middle with between the E85 grants with some carry forward money, some hydrogen grants money that was a balance. We took the Senate number, we took the House numbers on E85, and ended up close to where we started between the House and the Senate, sort of in the middle. And then the rest of the budget was really an issue of transfers from special funds.
And I was very adamant I didn't want to use ratepayer dollars or ratepayer assessments or telephone charges to balance the budget, but I wasn't able to meet that goal completely, given that we had very little to work with here. So what we did do was protect the Renewable Development Fund, which is not a statewide fund. It's only one utility. Ratepayers are assessed for that, so I thought that was especially inappropriate to use to balance the state's budget. We did accept the other assessments in part that the House recommended with balances that were available. And it didn't deplete all of the funds completely, but it did take a significant amount of money. And we also accepted the House's reduction to the TAM fund, the Telephone Access Fund, again, where we believe there's a balance available, that it won't affect any services provided, and unfortunately, that fee was already planning to be raised by 2 cents, I believe, by the administration. So I'm not thrilled with using these assessments to transfer to the general fund, but we did cut in more than half what the House had proposed and the governor had proposed in that area. So that's kind of where we're at on energy.
Okay. And any comments on Article 4 on the language that's in front of us?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think you'll find there is no policy language in Article 4.
Okay.
Yeah, there's virtually no language in here on the energy piece especially. I know. I don't know about the rest of it. But.
All right, thank you. Questions for Representative Garofalo?
Thank you, Senator. And first of all, I want to apologize for talking. I'm looking here to listen and learn, not to speak. I'm just wondering if for either of the authors, the communication I had received was that the security redeemable registration fee was kind of a showstopper. I'm wondering if there's any new information, if otherwise has been communicated to you guys are probably more in the know than I am, but that's the communication I had received. I'm wondering if there's any new information.
That would be for Representative Hilty. That's not in my budget.
Yeah, Representative Garofalo, that's one of the confusions with this bill. Mm-hmm. Representative Hilty might be able to speak to that, but that would be Senator Tomassoni on the Senate side. So, Representative Hilty?
Mr. Chair and Representative Garofalo, we have communicated with the representative from the governor's office about the bill in general and about a couple items in particular. The two items in our division that the governor's office expressed the most concern about were the transfers from the workers' comp assigned risk plan, which initially we had in our bill, as you will recall, at $15 million. The target that we started with then was reduced to 13, and we were able to reduce that transfer as it stands in the bill now to $8,681,000. We consulted with the governor's office on that, and actually his liaison was very helpful in helping us find a way to do that. Unfortunately, we were not able to find any way to reduce that filing fee. It's not like it's a fund that you can just reduce part of. It's either there or it isn't. And it's a big number. It was very difficult to find any alternative to that, although we did invite the governor to offer us any alternatives that you might have in mind. I think the only thing that was mentioned was making that up with an addition in the tax portion of the bill and a further reduction to local government aid, and that didn't seem like something that we were willing to consider. So I realize that that's something that is still a matter of concern for the governor, but we didn't find any way to eliminate that from our target or our budget division.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hilty, I appreciate it.
Well, and Representative Hilty, let me follow up on that. I probably should have done this when Senator Tomassoni was here. But I wanted to ask about the assigned risk plan. House position was using $15 million from the plan. The Senate did not do that. Obviously, when we talked about a revenue target with you yesterday, we talked about using $13 million. And I just want to go through this. I understand there was some discussion with representatives of the administration about bringing that part of the bill to a figure of below 10. Is that correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay. And can you tell us explicitly what was conveyed to you?
I'm not sure, Mr. Chair, there was anything explicit conveyed to me. I would say that the discussion that we had focused on these two items that I mentioned, the workers' comp and the filing fee, and basically the governor's representative asked if we could possibly move on either of those, and we indicated that it might be possible to reduce the transfer from the workers' comp fund and that we would work on that. There wasn't any agreement made about, you know, that versus the filing fee, but I think that we both felt that the effort that we made to reduce the transfer from the workers' comp was, in essence, a good faith effort to move toward the governor's position on those two items.
Okay. I want to put the filing fee aside, if I might, and just relative to the workers' comp assigned risk issue. Was it suggested that there ought to be a particular dollar amount kept or not used? I mean, any discussion of, because I thought I heard some discussion of trying to do something in single figures as opposed to in double figures.
In analyzing all of the elements of our budget, we suggested that it might be possible to achieve a transfer of that was in the single digits, and that was received very well.
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hilde, this is an important question because we've gotten from the governor's office via you and then a conversation, we've had kind of two different numbers. And that's why we're trying to sort through what the meeting you had was. And it was my understanding then that the suggestion from the governor's office was if we could get into the single digits. And the governor's, other governor's staff had a specific number that they wanted to achieve. And so we've had two different messages, and we're just trying to clarify that point.
Chair, Representative
Carlson.
Involves
a significant amount of money. That's why it's an important discussion.
Representative Carlson, no specific number was communicated to me.
Other than being in the single digit.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Other questions for either Representative Hilty or Senator Anderson? Okay, thank you very much. What I'd like to do is revert back, because I think we now have the state government's piece, but I know Representative Wagenius and Senator Anderson, I think it's looking to be a few more minutes and we'll have everything.
We just got the language and the spreadsheet.
Okay, but that hasn't been distributed yet.
Okay.
So let's go back. We've had a lot of confusion over this. Does everybody have the State Department's Article 13? And I think, okay, we've got two articles in front of us. We have one that's Budget Article 13 House and one that's Budget Article 13. Does everybody have that? So let's pick up from where we left off.
Mr.
Betzel,
Chair,
you were
As I was describing, this is the represents the agreement that we made last night.
Okay, which article?
Budget. It's 325.10. It's 3:26 p.m. It says Bud Art 13.
Okay.
Okay. And if you look at page 2, lines 2 through 7, 2.7 to 2.12, this is language that the Senate adopted from the House. And again, as you go through the bill, the appropriations, these were all House positions that we adopted in the budget. If you go to page 5, lines 5.1 to 5.23, that was House-only language. If you go to page 6, section 24, at 6.17, this is language that was proposed by the governor in his budget bill. It was in the House bill. It was not in the Senate bill. It's traveling separately in the Senate, but we adopted it because of its relevancy to the office of the governor. Section 25 on page 7, this was House-only language that we felt was appropriate because it ties into the SWIFT technology lease purchase appropriation. It clarifies that in the office in the office administration and MMB. Section 26, 27, 28. This was House language, not Senate language, dealing with the recycling program, which deals with the office administration. Section 29 on page 10, again, is more technology lease purpose appropriation clarification language, which we adopted. Section 30 is House-only language on tax preparers, electronic filing. There is a line item appropriation for that, so that's why we accepted it. And Section 31 was House-only language. So, Mr. Chair, everything that you have in Article 13, which was accepted last night, with the exception of the legislative appropriation, is House language. There's not a single position in here. Now, we rejected a number of positions based upon not only your verbal direction, but also the email notice that we were given that no policy language that doesn't directly relate to balancing the budget should be involved in here. Senate Council has put together the attached list of policy provisions in the bill, and that is what we decided to base what we would accept on, Mr. Chair. So that's why you have the agreement that we had last night before you.
Okay, Representative Kahn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, except that wasn't an agreement. The agreement the House had, you know, and I think Representative Betzold has showed that the House
I'm a
didn't.
Senator.
Sorry, of course, yes. The Senator, as Senator Betzold has pointed out, the House at many points felt that we had to put language that explained the appropriations that we were doing and that applied, or the decrease in appropriations, or we had to do changes. We had to put language in for the for the governor elect, the new governor elect, like the transition expenses. I have no idea why the Senate didn't do this, and then at some point, other House language, which is totally related to budget items, and we had not one piece of policy not related to a budget item. We sometimes didn't, just because we were being conservative in meeting the targets, we didn't tie them specifically to a savings or to an expenditure. To a savings, because we didn't want to overbook things. So there's a sheet that we've also passed out on this House State Government Finance Position, this sheet that people have, which it's just easier to go over that than to go through the item that's called Bud Art 13 House. This shows the issues that are
after us, so they didn't
that are in the that are in. We starting with the Watson chart. So in the middle, you'll see the Watson chart items, and so there are several items that were not on the Watson chart. So I assume that those were not identified as extraneous policy items, and so that's Section 25 was not on the West Watson chart, and we would like to keep that. Section 40 was not on the Watson chart, and the support our troops we've decided comes out, but the transparency standards report, we decided to that we would like to keep that. And then one mistake, I would hate to ever accuse Council Watson of having made a mistake, but he said that Section 40 wasn't on the chart, but that Section 33 was on his chart, but 33 is linked to Section 40. Section 40 refers back to Section 33. So in terms of what the public is asking for in terms of the transparent, and part of the things, and some of this is in the webmaster bill. We had also had a whole bunch of things that we agreed to take out because we thought bills were moving separately. The problem that we're coming into now with bills moving separately is that the Senate is apparently preparing an omnibus bill, and the House, I think largely following suggestions we had had from the Senate in the past, didn't want, decided to avoid omnibus bills because of the problems we've had with them before. So our things are moving as separate bills, except for these items that are tucked into the budget bill. It's one of the things that is that almost, I went over this with my lead Republican Representative Joyce Pepin, and almost all the items that are items that came from the administration or were positions that came from our House, from the Republican members in the House. And they, you know, I think because they were probably bringing in the appropriations bills. So I would just say that every one of these on the list, we tried in the discussion this afternoon, we tried to put some things, you know, to put some things proven in the interest of coming to an agreement, as the two chairs did. So the House put some proposals of things. But one, things that we admitted should be out, like the webmaster and the OET web, sections 31 and sections 32, because that's a separately moving bill, although I don't know if it's separately moving now. And the and then the other things we think are all definitely tied to budget items. I can talk about any of the very specific ones, you know, if members specifically want. Just in the interest of, you know, I think we put out a proposal of things that we were willing to take out, like the Commission on Service Innovation, although that's a Senate bill, but it doesn't have a companion House bill that was moving. But we had the, but that was Representative Downey was carrying that in the House, Senator Bonoff's carrying it in the Senate, and Representative Downey got an agreement to put this kind of enabling paragraph in. Now that doesn't have, that's not moving in the South, you know, so again, we can't justify, you know, the justification to saving money on that is somewhat more futuristic. So, you know, just in the interest of coming to an agreement, we agreed to take that out. We agreed to, although I thought it was something that Chair Cohen was very interested in, the idea of using business intelligence for some of the, for the legislative work, we will also agree that's Section 3 to take that out if someone wants. But, you know, in the point of making a proposal and then getting no proposal back, it just seemed that to continue making proposals without getting anything in return except no, seem to me that would be better off to turn it over to the conference committee and make the arguments for keeping these things in the conference committee.
With Mr. Chair.
Senator Betzel.
I don't understand the House's position on this. This whole article, everything, and we agreed to this last night. everything in here are House positions. What is left? Most of these are amendments that were placed in the House article. There was no bill for many of these things. If the administration was talking to the House but not talking to the Senate State Government Budget Division, I find that hard to believe. I am not in a position to go in accepting a number of things that the House generated by amendment that were never brought to my attention. And I'm not prepared to accept it. If this conference committee chooses to do so, that's fine. But you're going against the very guidance that you gave me, and it really is, I question these items. These are supposed to be savings. I've not seen any fiscal notes. I've not seen any documentation. If the House wants to put together these ideas without vetting them and bring them to our attention, that's their choice. But to ask this conference committee accept things that have not been brought through the process, I think is an offense to the process. Mr. Chair.
Well, Senator Betzel, let's maybe be a little bit careful about rhetoric. At this point, the conference committee hasn't adopted anything, so that remains to be seen as to what is adopted or not adopted. Representative Kahn?
Let me give a couple of examples on things. One of the things, as you know, as we're working on these things, and I gather one of the next series of bills that are coming on, like the jobs bill, is being even more dependent on tax compliance pushing. And we talked about that bill last night. We also had Commissioner Einars in our division, and the answer is we're pushing the edge on what we can do with tax compliance. We've consistently given them more each time, and they've said they could do it. This 41 is something, and we've just put it, so I don't know if it's, we've just put it, I don't know if Representative Luncheski, but we've just put that in another bill that we're doing to bring the tax compliance money along with the jobs bill for Representative.
But to be fair, that's a House proposal where that's happening.
Yeah, it's a House, but the point is tax compliance is in both, but the language to make tax compliance work was in the House bill and not in the Senate bill. That's, you know, and I think many of the other things that the Senate has accepted were also needed to make the appropriations work. I mean, there's no difference between, except that at some point we hit some tipping point. There's no difference between these languages, the languages on in budget article 13 House and the budget article 13. There's no difference in kind any of them. And if there are, like it was pointed out, perhaps the Commission on Service Innovation was one that we then agreed to take it out. But the point is the language here are things that are needed for cost savings, or they were brought to us. And I know, Mr. Chairman, Representative Carlson, you haven't done the state government stuff quite as much. But you know, Senator Cohen, that continually administration people come to you and say, here's a little fix that we just need, and this is a place where you can do it. One of the examples is for example, number 34 was in the governor's bill. Now, I don't know what you guys did with the governor's bill in the Senate. I introduced the governor's bill in the House, and we worked off the governor's bill. So that was a governor's request. It's the last fix that's needed for the DOER merger, and the thought of not doing it, it's clearly fixing up this. That merger was clearly a budget-related issue, and it just seems incredible. The next one below that, 38, the state auditor, the OPEB account maintenance, the changing of a date. I don't know if the state auditor is here, But she said she needed that because she can't meet the date because it's a position and we've cut the money for the position. So, you know, how that's not related, and you know, it's I'm not responsible for how the Senate gets its its information, and I'm not responsible for whether people came to. Maybe we're more friendly to our Republican members because we've had smaller majorities or so. But when Republican members of my committee brought me something that had been brought to them by the administration, it seemed to me that it was valuable for the basic passage of the bill, and it was related to the budget to put it in. So,
Before I call on Senator Murphy, but just to comment, Representative Kahn, at least based on our meeting with the administration folks earlier today, it doesn't sound like there's a lot of credit being passed on to the House for adopting these provisions. If these were administration provisions. Senator Murphy?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Betzel, did you get any bills on these things, or did you have any hearings on any of these provisions?
Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, the number three, section three, I believe, is an initiative from Representative Winkler. Number 20, section 25, I think, was a House amendment. I'm not familiar with it. I know the issue, but I never saw a bill on it. Number section 28, I think, was a House amendment. I didn't see a bill on it. Section 30, fleet management, I believe, was a House amendment. Standards of transparency, that is part of a webmaster bill, which is traveling separately. The Wicklow membership is in the governor's bill, but it's strictly policy language. It's not tied to any budget information. The state auditor, number 38, I did talk to the state auditor today. Apparently, she talked only to the House. She did not talk to us. The request for proposals, I think that's Representative Pepin's amendment. These were not bills.
Mr. Chairman, just speaking on behalf of the process that the Senate has, Representative Kahn, is we normally hear bills, discuss them in committees, and if people don't get their bills in time, tough. And it doesn't look like there was very many bills here talked about. It looked like they were all Thomasoni amendments.
Well,
and that's a term of art in the Senate that kind of means they snuck in a bill somehow.
Well, just a correction to Senator Betzel saying that he never saw the bill. He has... maybe he hasn't seen his agenda for tomorrow, but he has two of these bills on his agenda for tomorrow.
Well, Mr. Chairman, well, then,
Senator Murphy.
Senator Betzel, that would make them late bills?
Well, some of them might be bills, but as I say, most of these appear to be amendments. We've traveled a number of bills separately. I do want to get some of these things passed separately, but we'll try to prepare an omnibus bill. We'll just see how the House wants to do it, but I don't think that this bill... this conference committee is the place to vet those issues out.
Okay. Well, all right. We've had a pretty exhaustive conversation on the difference. Now, obviously, as we've been sitting here this evening, it sounds like there's been agreement by almost all of the respective chairs relative to their articles. There are some other concerns we've discussed with individual chairmen. And it certainly sounds like the State Department's folks have done a very good job, certainly relative to the spreadsheet. Hope you might continue to work relative to the language and see what we can agree on. Otherwise, obviously, you know, the conference committee can make that decision ultimately. So are there any other questions for Senator Betzel or Representative Kahn? Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, what's your suggestion for procedure? I mean, I'm always willing to continue talking, but it's kind of like I don't want to make a pejorative comment relative to the national scene, but when someone just keeps saying no, it's really hard to say that you're continuing to talk.
Mr. Chair, I've had no policy whatsoever that I submitted. I don't know what else I can do.
Well,
if this conference committee chooses to adopt House positions that we didn't look at, that's its choice. I mean, what else can I say? Yes to things that I
we're not in, and yes to things in violation of the guidance that we got here. I'm sorry, I can't do that.
All right. If there's no further discussion with Representative Kahn and Senator Betzel, thank you. We've got one article left, and that's the Environment and Natural Resources article. And Senator Anderson is here, and I thought
Representative Wagenius was just here. There she is.
Okay, Representative Wagenius. And so, and we've had distributed both the spreadsheet as well as the proposed Article 3. And I don't know if
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Reinholtz would like to join us. We've got Mr. Mueller, Mr. Reinholtz.
Shove it off on the floor.
So who would like to go? Senator Anderson?
Mr. Chair, if I may. So just general comments about our budget. We both had higher targets than the governor's cuts. The governor's total cut was around $13 million in the end. The House and Senate were very close, 16.4, 16.5. Our conference target was 15.05. The governor's budget focused on lots of transfers from lots of special funds and less on general fund, and the House and Senate both tried to minimize transfers from special funds and do more general fund cuts. So the governor had about $7.3 million in transfers from special funds. We had, in the end, the conference committee settled on a point midway between the House and Senate, transfers of about $2.2 million. So it was a lot less than the governor in transfers. Overall, the general fund cuts are closer to the Senate number. Let me just go through the agencies and just give a couple summary comments, and then Representative Wagenius may want to add some details. In terms of the special funds in the Pollution Control Agency, we did not take any transfers from the Environmental Fund, which is basically solid waste, your garbage tax and your solid waste fees and permitting fees and those sorts of things. We didn't touch those because we thought those are user fees and shouldn't be used. The DNR, we didn't take boat fees in the House or Senate. And then I've already covered energy. In the budget between the House and Senate in the conference committee, that for the Pollution Control Agency, we ended up in the middle, a little closer to the Senate, in the DNR, sort of in the middle. PILT, in the Senate, we removed PILT from our budget and transferred it to the tax committee, and in the end, that was the conference position. So PILT is not in our budget anymore. Bowser, we were somewhere between the House and Senate, a little closer to the House position. We had two very small budget items or small agency appropriations that we held harmless. The Conservation Corps, which is a small budget, and basically it's jobs. So we didn't cut that. That was the Senate position, which we maintained. And we had the same position on that in the House and Senate. The Science Museum, we took the Senate position, which was also for no cuts. And they, again, have a very, very small amount of general fund for their agency. 3% of their agency is general fund. The rest they raise from other sources. And on the Minnesota Zoo, the Senate had a pretty large cut, and so we were able to, we couldn't go all the way down to the House number, but we were able to split the difference on that. Metro Parks and State Parks, one of the things that we did as we were trying to figure out what our ending numbers should be between the House and the Senate, we always try to maintain parity between Metro Parks and State Parks. And we also tried to include unallotments in our thinking about what cuts they'd already received in this year, budget year. And so we factored that in. And so you'll see that the Metro Parks and the State Parks, you can't really tell by looking at this, but they are roughly very similar percent reductions if you include the unallotments. Two more things I wanted to mention. One is in terms of language. We have no policy language at all in our bill. The only thing that's not just a straight rider is we did have some a provision for various agencies that allowed them to move if they found it really necessary. We allowed them to move the cuts from one of the years to the other year within the biennium, and we wanted to be sure that that flexibility did not was limited to the programs for which the appropriations were designated. So that language is missing in one place. So I do want to do an oral amendment if I can. And if you look, the same language is at the top of page 2 for the PCA. It's for the DNR, the bottom of page 3. But where it's missing is on page 6, line 31. For Bowser, it should say within each program, and that's the same language that we had for PCA, DNR, and Met Council, Metropolitan Metro Parks. So the amendment would be on line 6.31 before the period to insert the words within each program, and then it will be consistent with how we treated the other agencies. So that was just an error, I think. Just a
well, Senator Anderson, let me suggest, because you know these are documents being presented by the respective chair, so it's not actually, as we adopt language tomorrow would be the time probably to suggest that kind of a change.
I'm just putting it out there, so that's fine if you're not voting on it.
Mr. Chair.
President Holbrook.
Could the staff just give us a new document?
Yes.
And incorporate that. Yeah. It was just left off in that one section. So, I don't know, Representative Wagenius may have some additional comments.
President Wagenius?
I think Senator Anderson covered it all. We're glad to take questions.
And any further comments relative to the language in the article?
Okay. It's all, Mr. Chair, the only thing that's in there is writer language.
Any other?
Murphy is also involved. So if she had any comment.
I'm sorry, Representative Murphy? I'm sorry. Oh. I didn't, that's right, you've got some accounts in here as well.
The zoo and the science museum.
Anything you'd like to suggest to us, or?
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Other questions directed toward the representatives and the senator, Senator Anderson?
And Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy did advocate very strongly for the zoo, and we did our best to lower those cuts as much as we could. I just wanted to point out there is one small language item that I forgot to mention, and that is in the DNR enforcement. We just said that if the cut should come from overtime before it comes from staff positions. That's all.
Further, Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, I believe that Senator Anderson said the PILT payments were no longer in this article, but did I remember correctly that Senator Bach said the PILT payments aren't in the aids and credits anymore either?
No, that's correct. You might recall that there was discussion of, at least on the Senate side, of trying to stay away from PILT cuts, and Senator Bach was willing in return to raise on the Senate side, the target for the aids and credits portion of this bill. And so there was discussion between Senator Bach, Representative Lencheski relative to that. And so there are no PILT cuts. Obviously, at some point, we need to have kind of a hard and fast resolution. And we're not going to do it this year. But I know, Representative, I haven't had a chance to talk to yourself. If Senator Anderson and I have talked about this, as to how we might resolve that going into next year's session, so we don't have this continued back and forth. So at this point, we don't have that in the conference committee.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
I do have a comment on that. The Cultural and Outdoor Resources Committee has taken a lot of time with the legislative auditor's recommendations on the land and the DNR land management audit that was done in the last 2 months or last year, and then we heard it in two joint meetings, Representative Wagenius's with Representative Wagenius's committee, and then Monday night we had 2 hours of discussion about it with the commissioner and assistant commissioner, and it is our conclusion that we are going to recommend that the House research staff and maybe the Senate research staff would like to join in over the interim or in the summer months and do a more intensive survey and provide information to us about the PILT situation throughout the state and make recommendations to us for the future.
Okay, thank you. Other questions or comments on the Environment and Natural Resources section? Okay, if not, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, that concludes run through of what everybody has worked very hard on over these past 24 hours or so. Representative Carlson.
Talk about.
Yeah, let's. Wow. If we can.
We're going to run finance this meeting at what time tomorrow? And how many bills?
Lots.
So we'd probably be tied up until at least 2 hours. So we could say late morning, call the chair.
Yes, since they're not deciding anything tonight, we might work on.
Well, we can set a time. What is your schedule like?
Pardon? Until.
I'm really close. Okay. So 5:50 just wasn't.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to call the cops.
That's the number. When Jim starts talking about it, we'll just split halfway. It's
what time is session tomorrow? We don't have any. But the Senate does. Okay.
They have session.
We don't have any session tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, on the House side, it is.
Do you have committee tomorrow?
I don't know.
One of those guys.
Okay.
So do I. So even if I could get.
Do you think I need some time to figure out?
3,000 or so. That first year.
Well, I think
take it off of, I
get
think
together tomorrow. Up some of the sections.
And that's a lot. That's a big number. 137. It's the first. What you've got for the first year, isn't it? Do they have that much left between now and June?
That's right.
Lucavina promised me I'd step it out.
Okay, Representative Carlson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we were just talking about when we would reconvene tomorrow, and I think the way we'll approach it is we'll reconvene at 11. There will be some articles as a result of the presentation tonight that we'll be ready to adopt, and we'll take care of that business, and then we will recess as Chair Cohen announced earlier. We have gotten some suggestions or some input from the governor, so we want to work on some of that. And then we have two divisions that are still working on resolving their issues, higher education and the state government finance language that we just heard about. So we'll recess, try to resolve some of those issues, work a little bit with the governor, and then reconvene in the afternoon at the call of the chair. But we'll start at 11. Does that sound like a pretty good agenda from your perspective?
Yeah, I think that should work out. Obviously, as conferees can tell, the other chairs have done a very good job of working through this stuff. And so hopefully we'll be ready to start putting this bill together tomorrow. As you indicate, we've got some questions we need to resolve with the administration, a couple of other pieces of this bill, and then hopefully we'll be done.
Okay,
so
very good.
We'll adjourn until tomorrow. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Higgins.
My division is at 11 tomorrow. So.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Do I hear 1 o'clock? Two. Give me three. Do I have three?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Higgins, I think what we would probably adopt at 11, if it's all right with you, would be.
And Senator Murphy might be missing.
What's essentially ready.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that.
Yeah. As long as we.
The stairway.
Yeah. It's more the other issues that would come after the recess where we may need your presence.
Right.